Heya, welcome to the Marketing Meetup podcast. My name is Joe Glover, and today we're going to be hearing from Ian Haken, or as he introduces himself at the beginning of this talk, is Ian Haken like bacon? And it's a way to remember his name forever now. In this talk, Ian focuses on how you can change your life with some very easy, small tricks that will enable you to get up to 20% more energy. That's not a precise figure, but you get the point. It gives you more energy. Ian has earned these lessons himself through being his own test monkey. When he hit middle age, he was ready to make a change in his life. And so much so that through the tips that he's earned and taken on through his own lifestyle, he made it all the way to be in the GB triathlon team, which is pretty crazy. For someone who hadn't been a triathlete prior to that. It's a really good talk to remind you of some of the real basics that we all sort of forget quite often. It's pretty remarkable how often we allow ourselves to, you know, sort of abuse ourselves and not look after ourselves. I think if you were to take on these tips, no doubt that you would find them really useful. The last thing to do is to thank Barry. Barry is from Bravo Marketing. He's a wonderful human being. I'm just so grateful for working with Barry on these podcasts. It really makes the world a difference to be working with someone you truly adore working alongside. Barry embodies the creative spirit in a way that I don't think I see many other human beings do so. He's a student of the great advertising people. He knows what he's talking about when it comes to delivering creative content, when it comes to delivering branding. But he delivers all this sort of agency package at what feels like a freelance price. Because despite all the sheen on Bravo Marketing, really you've got a guy there who is just incredible and ready and willing to work alongside you. If you'd like anything more from the Marketing Meetup, head to themarketingmeetup.com, listen to our podcasts, come to the events, get the newsletter. It's all there. It's all there to help you become a better marketer, a happier person. That's all we're trying to do. That's all we're trying to do. I hope you enjoy the talk, and I'll see you soon.
Okay, so my name's Ian Haken. We remember that by saying bacon with an H. I'm not Haken, I'm not Halcyon, or any of those other derivatives I get. But I'm not too fussy about that. So the first thing I'd like you all to do before we start, if you're able to, I understand someone might have a broken foot, but if you're able to, could you just stand up for the duration of my talk? If you can't stay up for the 20 minutes-ish that we're going for, then please feel free to sit down again. Floyd was already up, because he always is. So that was the first thing. So hands up who would like 20% more energy? Yeah, pretty much everybody. Again, who would like a little bit less stress? Pretty much everybody, okay. So I can't guarantee I'll give you 20% more energy tonight, but I'm going to give you a few tips that will help you on that journey. And some of them you may already do, some of them may not be relevant to you, but if you can just take maybe, if you can just take maybe two or three of them, then we will start moving you towards having a bit more energy, being a bit more productive, getting more stuff done, maybe getting home to see your families a bit more often, and all of those kind of things that I posed in this sort of question as to why you would like more energy. So I'll just flip back to that side. So that's me, that's a gratuitous shot of me in a Team GB kit. So I started this sort of wellness journey. I was the CEO of a successful local business, and I kind of hit at that age, nearly 40, which was more than 10 years ago now, so I've now hit another milestone. And I decided to get a bit physically fit, and that led to me then looking at other aspects of my energy, my well-being. So looking at my nutrition, looking at how much I slept, looking at my mental health, starting to meditate, starting to read books on positive psychology. And that kind of led me in this sort of upward spiral to get more energy, get more well-being. And what happened was people at work started to notice a difference in me. they actually were using that phrase in, you've got more energy, you're getting more stuff done, you're holding better meetings. And as a result, we as a business achieved a lot more. I'm not saying that was entirely down to having an energized CEO, but it was definitely a factor in the success we achieved as a business. So that made me decide to give up the day job and do this. So I've been helping people with energy and wellness for about the last 5 years. So, as I said, two or three things if you could take from today. I'm going to give you 8 tips. These all come from work we've done with real clients. So they're all tips that clients have implemented. And they're not necessarily the best tips I could give you, but what they are is the easiest tips to implement from tonight. So these are things you can make a quick change on and implement that thing and start doing it tomorrow and have that impact pretty much straight away. And I'm going to go... pretty much go in order of the way we talk to clients about the various things we talk about. Not everything is in there, but most of our areas we talk around are in. The first area we talk around is in around the area of time management. So we start that, even though that's not necessarily what you think an energy or well-being coach might start with. But if you're not getting that right, you're going to be pretty stressed for a start. But also, we need to make space in your diary to enable you to be able to spend some time on yourself. Because actually, if you're not managing your time right, you're not going to make... The first thing that's going to go out the window is going for that run or spending 20 minutes meditating or whatever it is you decide to do for you. So, and this tip, although it's the easiest to implement, I think, is also the biggest tip, I think, in time management for most people. So hands up who is a people pleaser. Quite a few of you, which I'm not surprised at. And hands up who's got a bit of an ego. Did anybody put their hand up for both questions? Yeah. So you've got double jeopardy there. So the problem with these two traits is the emotional part of our brain gets involved with this. The people pleaser wants to please people. So it doesn't want to say no to anybody about anything. It just wants to say yes, keep everybody happy. So when you're asked to do something, its immediate response is, yes, I'll do that for you. Because it doesn't want to upset the other person. The ego also doesn't want to look bad. It doesn't want to look bad in front of anybody, so it wants to say yes. And what this means is, how it manifests itself is, we end up saying yes just far too often. Now, I'm not saying don't say yes to anything ever, because life would be dull, wouldn't it? Be pretty boring if we just said no to everything. But what I am saying is, just give due consideration. This is our emotional brain making that decision in the moment. So just give our logical brain time to catch up. So don't make yes your stock response. So I want you all to practice this phrase. That sounds really interesting. Can I go away and think about it? Yeah. Just give your logical brain time to catch up with the emotional brain. Because the emotional brain's going, me, please, please. And maybe it's not quite right for you. I don't know about you, I don't have a spare 8 hours kicking around in my back pocket per week to take on that extra assignment. So you've got to think about it. Then think about if you are going to take it on, what you're going to give up. Or are you just going to do everything a little bit less better than you did before? Or possibly that might be the straw that breaks the camel's back that actually pushes you over the edge. I hope not. So say no more often. So that was tip number one. Tip number two comes in the area when we talk about clients about what they eat. And so hands up who's got one of these at home or in the office? Or both. Put both hands up if you've got one in both. Lady at the back's got one in both, yeah. So the dreaded snack drawer. Now, the problem with this thing is it's just too easy, isn't it? Because we're busy, there's stuff going on, and it's always in the convenient point, isn't it? It's just as you're walking through the doorway. It's not like miles away. So we just walk past and we're just going to get her. And then we're just going to get her. And of course, what happens is by the end of the day, we've just got 6 dairy milks, 3 bags of crisps, and a Kit Kat. And we've filled ourselves up with junk calories, nutritionally poor, and there's no room in the belly for the good calories, so we don't really fancy them. We don't fancy that massive plate of vegetables that you all obviously go home and eat. We're not fueling the engine right. Our body's a finely tuned machine and we need to put the right fuel in. I'm not saying you shouldn't eat this stuff now and again, because a little treat now and again is not bad. But what I'd suggest you do with this draw is take everything out of it, ideally throw it all away. But you're probably not ready for that, and probably the other people are not ready for that as well. So what you do is take everything out of it and then fill that up with lots of nice healthy alternatives, like eat natural bars, naked bars, popcorn crisps, something that's a little bit less calorie dense, maybe slightly better nutritionally, and just a slightly better alternative, like Graze boxes, if you get one of those delivered. I've also got some leaflets if anybody's interested in a company that actually does really healthy vendors for the office. You know, instead of a vendor full of Kit Kats and Mars bars, it's actually full of really healthy choices. So I've got some of those if anybody's interested for their organisation. But then all this stuff, if you're going to keep it, then stick it up there. The tallest place you can find, the place that health and safety won't even let you climb up. They won't even let you up there to get that stuff. So then if you do really, really want the unhealthy option, you just got to make a choice to go up there and get it. You've got to make a deliberate choice to go, I want an unhealthy snack. I am going to climb. We've done this at home. We've got a hamper, picnic hamper, wicker hamper, very similar to that one, on top of the fridge. The kids just go to it, though, to be fair. Their emotional brain's stronger than ours. But it's worked for the rest of us. So that's tip number two. So just to get rid of those unhealthy snacks. Tip number three is, while we're still in the area of what we put in our mouths, and that's about being hydrated. Can anybody shout out how much water we need a day, fluid we need a day? 2 litres. Yeah, 2 litres, I heard. So that's 2 litres for men, 1.6 litres for ladies. That obviously depends on your body shape, size, what time of the year it is, how much you're exercising, etc., etc. But that's a good rule of thumb. And these cups, this size, are 750 millilitres. And Joe knows this because I visit his office regularly. I've always got one of these with me. That doesn't mean the first thing I do when I arrive at Joe's office is run to their loo, which is luckily just inside the door. But so I fill one of those up before I leave the house in the morning. And then I live over on the coast, so by the time I've got to Norwich, parked up, I've finished one, and then I'll take it and refill it. So that refill, once that's been drunk, I've done 1.5 litres, I'm nearly there now. And we do get hydrated from things like tea and coffee. It is obviously 98% water, so we will get hydrated from those things as well. So by the time we've just had those other things, just two of these during the day. So you may not want a plastic one. There's lots of reasons why we're not going to use plastic more lately, and that's certainly being publicised a lot at the moment. But you can get glass versions of these. You can get the ones with the little container to put a little bit of fruit in the top. If you don't like just boring old water, you can put a bit of squash in, it won't hurt. So just buy yourself one of those cups and carry it around with you. Buy a few. And just think in the morning, just because often we come to an event like this and we don't really know, look, the table has not got any water on it tonight. I'm sure we could have got a glass of water from behind the bar, but I've got my water with me, so I know I'm covered, yeah? But often when we go to things and go to a client's or something, you're not necessarily going to have water on the table. So that's tip number three. Tip number four is in the area of sleep. So hands up who gets 7 to 8 hours sleep. Good number. 6 to 7? Less than 6. Okay. So statistically, we all need 7 to 8 hours sleep. The number of people that have got the Maggie Thatcher gene, if we round it to a whole number as a percentage, is 0. So for those of you that put your hand up later then, you're probably sleep deprived. You probably don't think you are. You're probably saying, that's okay, I'm all right. I function really well on 6 hours sleep. But you are probably sleep deprived, more than likely. And this has a real impact on our performance, as does being dehydrated, actually. Very similar issues from being dehydrated to being tired, but much worse if we're sleep deprived. So we're going to be grumpier, we're going to probably make bad decisions, we're going to be more forgetful, we're not going to remember things as well. Cognitive impairment pretty much across the board from not sleeping. So my tip in this area is just to maintain some sort of sleep diary. Peter Drucker famously said, what gets measured gets done. So if we just start to measure it, we'll start to hold ourselves to account. You may have some sort of tracker like I've got that that, but that's all very well if you do anything with it. You might be wearing it in bed and tracking your sleep, and there might be other reasons why you don't want to do that as well. You might not like the idea of electrodes pulsing into your skin all night. But if you have got one, then use it. But just keep a notebook beside the bed and just write down in the morning how much sleep you got, how restful it was, how many times you got up in the night, any other notes about your sleep. Do that for a few nights on the trot. You'll suddenly start to think about the notion of getting more sleep. Matthew Walker, who's a brilliant sleep scientist, said we need to allow ourselves the opportunity to get 8 hours sleep a night. So we don't, we're not going to get it, are we? And many of us don't. And we can't manage that every night, I know. If you came here tonight and then you know you've got a 6 o'clock train out of London to London in the morning, you're not going to get 8 hours sleep tonight. That's a fact. But you can try and make that happen most nights. Number five is in the area we talk around, we call it Headspace, so it's the which is also the name of a mindfulness app, but it is around the way we can be more mindful. It's about managing our emotions, managing our thoughts, etc. And this tip is not actually to trust yourself, that's just a generic one from the internet, is the use of affirmations or mantras. So I've got one that I use for this occasion, for public speaking, but also just attending an event like this. So I just say to myself over and over again, light up the room, light up the room, light up the room. So when I arrive, I've got a bit of a smile on my face and I look like somebody you might be interested in talking to. And what that does for me is just changes my emotional state slightly, you know, from maybe it's just going to get rid of a bit of baggage from the day of whatever's happened today. It's going to remove a little bit of anxiety and fear that I might have, and just change my emotional state slightly. What I would say, though, is if you're this sort of person that was being sick outside at the thought of coming in, then this is not going to cut it for you. This is not a strong enough tool for that. You're going to need something a little bit more deep. But this is a great tool for any tip. You can just have one kind of affirmation or mantra, that, you know, like, oh, I am great, or where's that effect, that you use for all circumstances, or you can just code one in for specific circumstances as you need them. So it's a great little tool. Number six, while we're still on Headspace, is in the area of being more mindful. Hands up who actually does meditate. And how'd you find it? Yeah, yeah. And that's what I tend to hear with people that meditate. There's not many people say, well, I tried it and it didn't really work. It doesn't work for everybody, though. And some people just don't really like the idea of it. You know, they think it's all a bit woo-woo, as some people say. But actually, I would really encourage you to give it a try if you want to. There is an app called Headspace, as I said earlier, that is free for 10 days to give it a go. But there's loads of other resources out there. There's loads of YouTube videos and all sorts of other things. There's plenty of resources to try mindfulness, or you can just drop into your local Buddhist centre or somewhere like that. But my tip actually is just to go for a nice walk quite regularly. So I talk about breaks a lot in our sessions as well, but this is a great way to bring two in one. So if you break up your day a little bit, so rather than just sitting head down at the desk all day, and where you think because you're busy you've got to be focused on it, actually you're not going to be very productive and you're not giving your mind a chance to unwind. So a 5-minute walk without the phone, probably not talking to a colleague about whoever's just wound you up in the office and carrying on the dialogue from the office, just a moment to be mindful. And just use that walk to just take in all the sights, sounds and smells in the area you're in. You're never far from a bit of nature. This is a beautiful city to wander around. You know, look at the architecture, look at the nature, look at what's going on, and just take yourself away from your own thoughts for a minute. And then when you get back to the desk, you'll find, just for 5 minutes, you'll find that you'll be more productive for that next session. So just go for a walk. Number seven is in the area we call grit. You might call it resilience or hardiness, etc. And that's to look for feedback. Anybody ever any feedback like that? But I bet even when you got feedback like that, underneath the indignation and the fear and all the other emotions you'll go through, because how dare they talk to you like that, there was actually something to learn. There are some people out there that just shout at you for no reason, and it's all with them. But actually, if we go seeking feedback, we will be stronger, we'll be more resilient. And we can do this at any juncture. We don't have to wait for that moment. We can seek out feedback from a good experience, a bad experience, an indifferent experience, and always be learning, always be looking for that feedback. And the more we do that, the more we'll learn, the stronger we'll become. Really good way to recover actually from adversity, because just shifts the mindset away from what the sort of woe and the indignation and the that was all their fault and this, that and the other and all those things we go through, that sort of thought stack and process of what happens when things go wrong, and just takes us into a problem solving mode, into a how can I make this better, how can I be better at the end of it. So just keep looking for that feedback. So there we have it. That was 8, wasn't it? Oh, missed one, didn't I? 8. And that is to stand up more and be more active in your work. Find ways to be more active and mobile. I'm not suggesting you get a hamster wheel desk, although I think it's pretty cool. But this item here, this desk here, there's a gentleman over there that can help you with one of those. And he'll not only help you with it, I'm sure many of you met Floyd, he will actually bespoke and tailor the delivery and implementation of that to make that part of your being, so you understand what Sit Stand Working is all about. But we don't have to buy the desk. We can just do more things to try and be a bit more active as we work. There was some research once in a book called Eat, Move, Sleep by a guy called Tom Rath. He found some research that suggested that, I always get this the wrong way around, so I've got to make sure I say it the right way around. Now I'll say it the wrong way around. Being sedentary for just 2 hours undoes 20 minutes worth of structured exercise. So we put that in context. If you went to the gym this morning and then sat down all day, you kind of undone it. But I'm not saying don't go to the gym or whatever your structured exercise is. Please do that. But just find more ways to be more mobile. You'll notice at an event, Floyd is always standing up. He's not just standing, he's doing this. He's moving around, he's changing his body weight, centre of gravity, etc., etc. We've done this tonight. You can do this. I guarantee you, if you hold stand-up meetings at work, they'll go much, much quicker. They will physically be shorter because you'll stay on point. Walking one-to-ones are brilliant. They're much better. They're much more constructive. Unless you really need a bit like a piece of detailed work in front of you. If you want to have particularly difficult conversations, one-to-ones are brilliant walking. I do a lot of coaching sessions walking and you get a lot done that way. So just find those ways to be more active. But there's two other reasons you're still stood up. The first one is that I've had your attention better than I would have done, especially in this late night graveyard slot, than I would have done if you were seated. And the last reason is I'm guaranteed a standing ovation. Thank you very much.